Good afternoon. We'll start off with the numbers. The total number of tests undertaken is 5,003. We have had 4,967 tests returned, which means that there are 36 outstanding. We have 336 confirmed cases, meaning today we have no new cases and we have one active case. I'm pleased to be here to have the opportunity to explain how the Department of Home Affairs has been keeping the island safe during the pandemic. I am grateful to the dedicated men and women of my department and am proud of what they have achieved and how they have worked. In my daily briefings, I have seen and heard firsthand the extraordinary work that people have undertaken across my department and have carried out going above and beyond what would normally have been expected of them. In the Fire and Rescue Service, the police and the Prison and Probation Service, in the Communications Division, answering the phone for the 999 service, keeping government communications running. Each person in the department has made an individual contribution in the fight against coronavirus. And the civil defence has stood ready to support the emergency services. These volunteers train weekly to be ready to step in the event of an emergency. They have helped distribute food parcels and have driven ambulances to support our paramedics. We have worked with other agencies to protect the most vulnerable, supporting the establishment of a shelter for the homeless people, keeping them safe during the lockdown. Police officers have put a number of initiatives in place to support people who are subject to domestic abuse. And we have restarted our legislative programme. The department has three large bills to help reshape our justice system. Domestic abuse, sexual offences and obscene publications, and justice reform. These bills are crucial in modernising our criminal justice system, and it is important that they continue. We are drafting emergency licensing regulations to support the licence trade through these unusual times. So the department has achieved a lot since the start of the pandemic. But it is important for me to thank you, the public. You have made the job of the department easier. You have been the ones who have stuck to the rules. You have made personal sacrifices and complied with the law. The Chief Constable has always said that the police in our island operate by consent. And that has been even more true during this pandemic. You have supported the constabulary as they have carried out their often difficult work. Policing a lockdown has not been easy, but you have made it possible. As we enter a new stage in our response to the coronavirus threat, so the challenges we face will change. The Chief Minister has said, "We are backing out of your lives, leaving you to make the choices on how best to stay safe." This means you're free to do more things and with more people, but that also means more responsibility. To you and your family, but also towards others. You still cannot leave the house if you have symptoms of coronavirus or if you have been told to self-isolate. You should still keep your distance from others who are not part of your household and continue to wash your hands often. You can gather in groups of up to 10, but need to maintain your social distance. And if you go out to the Glen or to the open moorlands, please remember that we have had an exceptionally dry April and May. The ground is very dry and we have already had a number of incidents. I will now pass you over to Chief Fire Officer Kevin Groom, who will update you on the Fire and Rescue Service.
Thank you, Minister. Good afternoon. I've been asked to speak today about the work of the Isle of Man Fire and Rescue Service throughout the ongoing pandemic. At the very start, we set three strategic priorities, which were to continue to serve and protect the community of our island, to ensure the continued health, safety and well-being of all the island's firefighters, and to maintain a reasonable level of health of operational response to emergency incidents. What did we do and what are we doing? Right at the start, we activated an internal action plan to monitor on a daily basis the rapidly changing situation affecting our island. At one point, the service had a 20% staff absence, which was a real risk to our service delivery. Gladly, that has now improved. I continue to be in regular contact with the United Kingdom National Fire Chiefs Council to assure that I am up to date with the developing challenges affecting the 48 United Kingdom Fire and Rescue Services. Our assistance arrangements would come through the National Resilience Arrangements if that had become necessary. And again, I'm glad to report it didn't become necessary. As a service, we introduced different ways of working through social distancing, providing appropriate levels of personal protective equipment, remote working where possible, introducing revised operational procedures, and the increased use of social media to put out safety messages across our community. Operational training had to continue to maintain the core competencies of our firefighters across the island's fire stations. The readiness and maintaining of operational equipment was also an important factor as part of our service delivery. Fire safety work was based upon risk by using telephone communication and on-site inspections only if there was a serious risk or danger to life or property. We have worked with other departments such as the Department of Health and Social Care, the Department of the Environment, Food and Agriculture, and the Department for Enterprise. Examples include providing support to the ambulance service through retired and serving firefighters, working in particular groups with the Department for Enterprise to provide fire safety advice where necessary, and future working around mental health and well-being for our community. We have also worked with the Emergency Planning Officer to identify where the service would assist if necessary. I would at this point acknowledge the excellent work of all the volunteer organisations that have and continue to assist the community throughout the pandemic. Operational demand did decrease during late March and April by approximately 30%. However, as the lockdown is easing, demand upon our service has started to increase. It is fair to say that the island has been blessed with settled weather for a number of weeks now. The wonderful sunshine and blue skies have shown its natural beauty, and at times, some of us may have thought we are living on a tropical island such as Hawaii or similar islands across the world. However, I must remind everyone that as we enjoy the great outdoors, the countryside and uplands are extremely dry. Recently, we have dealt with a number of operational incidents, such as grass fires, hedge fires, garden fires, out-of-control burning-off incidents, and fires caused by, unfortunately, the careless disposal of portable barbecues. That is to name but a few. These types of incidents can very quickly spread across our countryside and can cause a lot of untold damage to our environment, which I know we are all very proud of. One recent upland incident occurred on the Beery Mountain. A large amount of land was on fire, and it took over 30 firefighters from 3 fire stations to bring it under control. One crew remained in attendance for over 10 hours. As an island fire service, we do not have unlimited resources, and a large wildfire can quickly affect our overall strategic resilience. Our counterparts in the UK are dealing with large moorland fires as I stand here today. That does create a huge demand upon resources. In closing, I therefore ask you consider your actions when outdoors to reduce the demand upon our service. Please be responsible. Additionally, advice and guidance is available on our Facebook page or by contacting our Community Safety Office on 647 303. Thank you for listening to me, and above all, keep safe.
Right. Thank you now for questions. If we go to Manx Radio and Tim, please.
Fasamai, Minister and Chief Fire Officer. Police hailed the introduction of the 40 mile per hour speed limit with a tweet that RTCs were reduced in the early days by 80%. Of course, there was very little traffic at that stage on the island's roads. Mm-hmm. What's the current data saying now? There is more traffic on the roads and the highways, and will we get more stats released when the maximum speed limit goes up to 60 miles per hour?
Right, thank you, Tim. Unfortunately, I haven't got those figures with me, but as the speed limit will be going up in a couple of weeks, I'm sure we'll have those figures for you then. And like the Chief Constable said, yes, the statistics showed that the incidents had gone down, and like you said, there was fewer people driving.
Thank you.
Right, now 3FM, Rob.
Sorry, I think I've just been unmuted there. Apologies. Good evening, Minister.
Good evening.
As discussed by the prison's governor at the end of April, is it still the procedure that those who arrive in prison are put in isolation wing for 2 weeks? If not, what is the procedure now?
Well, if they're thought to be COVID positive, they'll be going into isolation, yes.
Thank you very much.
Right. Now to MTTV and Paul.
Thank you, Minister. I'd like to speak to the Fire Officer. I'd like to drill into this thing about 20% staff outages there. Was that always, I know like the police had a fair amount. Was that particularly increased because of people self-isolating? And you say it's improved a bit now, but by how much?
Yeah. Good afternoon, Paul. So 20% staff absence, that was due to COVID related symptoms. That is people either having to self-isolate or their partners, family had symptoms. The 20% staff absence only lasted for a short number of days, but as I said in my previously, it was about how I kept in, I do continue to keep in touch with the National Fire Chiefs Council to ensure that if we'd reached any form of lower level, that could have been 25 or 30%, I would have had to call upon national arrangements to ensure that we could keep our crewing levels and our fire engines, fire appliances available on the Isle of Man.
By importing people to work in the industry for you?
Yes, we have arrangements in place, Paul, already that allow off-island firefighters to come across to the Isle of Man to work where necessary. That's been in place for a long number of years. Because if we have a major incident, that's something that we may have to rely on our counterparts from the UK Fire and Rescue Services.
And the absence ratio now, or the percentage now, please?
Yes, the percentage now has dropped down to overall staff absence sits at just below 5% today. So it's a very, very good position that we're in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, BBC and Alex. Sorry, Energy FM and Chris. Sorry, Chris.
Minister, throughout the pandemic, there's been some concern surrounding the human rights of those being both repatriated to the Isle of Man and in custody at the prison. It's an issue raised by the Speaker of the House of Keys, and a letter was also sent to media outlets from an island advocate, which I noticed even managed to make it into the Guardian newspaper. How active and influential were you in devising these particular policies, and what's your response to some of the negative stories that have been put out there?
Right, thank you, Chris. Well, the prison governor is responsible for the policies at the prison. And what I would say to you is, I had a look at the Guardian website, and they've got a very interesting story from a prison in the UK. And what I would do is, I'd say to people, just to get some balance between the Isle of Man and the UK, is to have a look at the Guardian's article, which does have a different side to how it's being dealt with in the UK.
In terms of your influence, obviously the prison governor has a lot of influence in what sort of policy is implemented at the prison. Surely that has to be run by you first, though, before it's implemented.
The prison governor informs us, but ultimately it's his responsibility on running the prison.
Thank you.
Right, now we are off to Jess at Isle of Man Newspapers.
Good evening, Minister. This is a question in regards to the Isle of Man prison. In a sitting of House of Keys, you said that as of May 12, 13 people had been sentenced for imprisonment after being convicted of emergency powers offences. However, after a Freedom of Information request, your department's response was that there was actually double the amount. So there had been 26 people who had received a custodial sentence. Could you please give an explanation of what's happened here in terms of the different figures given?
I think that that was circulated to the media because it was actually a difference in times. It was approximately a week difference between my answer and the figure given in the Freedom of Information request.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now over to Amanda at Jeff the Mongoose.
Good afternoon, Minister. On Friday, the People, Places and Activities Regulations will go before Timwald under the Emergency Powers Act. And if it passed through, it would mean that directions would not require approval from Timwald. Considering the fact that we could very soon have no cases at all on the island, is it not time to consider ending the state of emergency rather than putting forward more legislation?
No, I don't think it is to be dealt with as in just ending the state of emergency. The regulations are there to help. We don't know where we will be in the next week or two. We've got to take these as, little baby steps at a time.
So at what point would we consider ending this emergency state?
And that will be on the medical advice that's given to the department, to the Council of Ministers, and then ultimately Tynwald.
Thank you.
Right. Is there any more questions at all? Oh, Tim.
Thank you. Can I just ask how many speeding offences have been during the period of lockdown? And I see your own local authority, Maloo Commissioners, have even bought a speed camera or buying a speed camera to record, give you statistics to work on as to how many are speeding through Ballasalla Village.
Thank you for the question, Tim. Unfortunately, I haven't got those direct figures here with me. It would be something that I'd probably hope that the Chief Constable will have an up-to-date figure on, and I'm sure we can actually supply those to you within the next day or so. You had a question regarding the local speed limits as well, wasn't it, Tim?
Maloo Commissioners have bought or are buying a speed camera.
Yes, I understand that they're buying a piece of equipment. I think they were saying about £140. So I don't know what sort of equipment they're getting for £140, because the laser guns, from my last recollection, were around about £3,000 for a laser gun. But it's something that I've often thought that we should work with the local authorities about, as being proactive towards engaging on seeing what we can do about speed limits. I think we had Bob next, was it? Rob.
Yes,
sorry,
Rob. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Minister. Just with regards to the justice system, given that there is naturally going to be a bit of a backlog of cases due to the pandemic, I know that certain proceedings have still been able to go ahead. How is this potential backlog of cases being managed, considering it's been able to build up over a couple of months for obvious reasons?
It's one of the things that we're quite clear on is the separation between the department and the courts. And, you know, it's entirely up to the courts about how they deal with their system there. So I'm sorry, I can't give you any more information. I think, is it Paul next?
Thank you, Minister. Have you got a view personally on the speed limit situation? What would you like?
I think the steps that we're taking now, increasing it to 60 in a couple of weeks' time, and then going back to the speed limits that we had previously is the right step to go.
So you're happy keeping things as they were before once this is all out of the way?
Yes.
Thank you.
Amanda, and then I think Jess, was it?
Yes, thank you, Minister. Seeing as the lockdown has been relaxed and we're allowed to see people outside of our households if we follow the guidelines, can you confirm whether or not prison visitors are now permitted to see their loved ones, provide their social distance?
No. What we have there is the video links, so that's what we're doing. It's trying to protect the prisoners in there because we have a number of vulnerable prisoners.
And is there any point where that will change?
There will be, yes. And that will be on medical advice and discussions with the prison governor.
Okay, thank you.
Jess, I think.
Yes. How many incidents of self-harm have been recorded in the prison during lockdown? And how does that compare to before the pandemic?
We haven't got those figures. I'm going to be supplying you with a number of figures later on. But I have seen evidence in the UK that there has been a significant rise in some of the prisons across. But from what I've had my discussions with the prison governor is that the prisoners at Derby have been engaging in activities. They've actually been helping produce PPE for the hospital. So they have had activities there. So we can supply you with some additional figures later.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, and I hope you have a very good evening.